Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's exciting news from our missions committee. It's always exciting to hear the updates and how things are going. We are in a series on the last portion of the book of Genesis, and this is a whole section on the story of Joseph. And Pastor Dave, just a bit of a recap from last week. Pastor Dave preached through Genesis chapter 39 and talked about how Joseph found himself in slavery in Egypt, in servitude, in Potiphar's house, how Potiphar's wife had tried to seduce him and was a source of temptation to him to dishonor his employer, and how Joseph passed the test. He ran away from the temptation. However, he was falsely accused and ended up in prison, again, in another place he didn't want to be, despite his integrity and innocence. But however, we heard that God was with Joseph, and he gave him favor again. He had given him favor in Potiphar's household to rise up and be a ruler in Potiphar's household, sent to prison, and now he's given favor by God to influence and be a leader within the prison itself. And so last week we saw that God's wise providence is able to guide the course of life's events towards his purposes. And this whole story is about providence. It's about God being able to lead the course of events despite all of our decisions, despite all the decisions of other people, good ones, bad ones, virtuous ones, evil ones. That God is a God who can take our broken humanity and just lead the course of events towards something good. And today we're going to read about another encounter Joseph had while he was in prison, where he interprets some dreams, which contribute to the outworking of God's providential plan. And so the big idea for today is that in the chaos, you feel a little chaos ever? A little bit of uncertainty in life? In the chaos and the uncertainty of life, Joseph demonstrates godly wisdom. He carries a blessing of wisdom into these places that God is bringing him. He doesn't really want to be there. He's in servitude in a foreign land, yet he brings a blessing, and that we too are called to be people of God's wisdom for the world. So, are you with me? Let's do it. Let's do it. So we're going to read from Genesis chapter 40. Okay, let's read along. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. "In my dream," he said, "I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is what the dream means," Joseph said. "The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place, for I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given the first dream such a positive interpretation, he said to Joseph, "Well, I had a dream too. In my dream, there were three baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head." "This is what the dream means," Joseph told him. "The three baskets also represent 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh." Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position, so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Now, are you glad you're living in 2025 and not in BC or AD and not 2025 BC? What a world. What a world. So Joseph finds himself down in a pit again. His brothers threw him into a pit, and here he is again in a pit. I can't help but feel like Joseph probably feels like he's on a bit of a roller coaster in life. At this point, he's up, he's down, he's left, he's right, he's in jail, he's leading, he's in prison, he's in charge, he's all over the place. And I remember my first time riding a roller coaster. It was at West Edmonton Mall. Anybody ridden the roller coaster inside West Edmonton Mall? Yeah. It was so fun. I was like 12 or something. But it's super scary. It does the loop-de-loops. It's inside. And there had been a disaster with that roller coaster when it first came out, and people actually were killed. And so there's that in the back of your mind. You're like, okay, this is scary. But all those other people made it through fine, so we're going to be okay. And I'm not a big rides person. I find myself on rides here and there, but with my kids and my family. The thought's always going through my head. We're going really fast on this thing. And we're not supposed to be like going this fast, this high in the air. This isn't like normal. What if at this moment, the whole thing came off the track? You ever had that thought on a roller coaster? You probably shouldn't. It's not very fun anymore. But you're like, I'm always having this conversation. No, there's people ride this every day, all day. I have the same conversation when I'm on an airplane, you know. This is normal. People do this all the time. It's safe. There was somebody really smart and wise who engineered this whole thing. And I just tell myself that and get off and be like, yeah, that was fun, kids. And I feel nauseous and gross, but I do it. It's interesting here to note that Joseph finds himself in a pit again. The word for dungeon or prison is the same word for the pit that he was thrown into by his brothers. So it's actually a pit. He's down in a pit again. He's up, he's down, he's left, he's right. He's in a pit again. He's in a dark place, totally out of his control. And the prison maybe was underground, but the author wants us to connect this prison with the pit his brothers threw him into. So here he is, in a bad and dark place, not of his choosing. I think that for a lot of us, life ends up in that place once in a while. In a dark or a bad place that we didn't choose, but we find ourselves there. Maybe it's a monumental season of life, or maybe it's just an event that happens and it's not that bad, but you don't want to be there. Our lives are always finding ourselves up, down, left, right, in different places. But Joseph, I want us to point out how he responds to this, how he carries himself through all of this stuff. He doesn't react out of fear. Joseph is full of trust in God's wisdom, and he carries that with him. So let's look at his encounter in prison. We don't know how much time has passed. We just know that sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker joined him in prison. 2 weeks, maybe 2 months, 2 years. And these two new characters are introduced into the story. Two people who worked for Pharaoh, for the king, for the big man in charge. And so we have the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And in ancient Middle Eastern cultures, a cupbearer was someone who would serve and taste the king's wine. They would have a place of political influence by being in the court and in close proximity to the king and other members of the court. If you remember the story of Nehemiah, the Israelite exiles were in captivity, and Nehemiah was a chief cupbearer in the king's court of Artaxerxes and had influence over the fate of the exiles there. But this Egyptian cupbearer had lost favor. We don't know why. Maybe, you know, again, it's like, aren't you glad you're born now? Like, maybe Pharaoh woke up grumpy and said, you're going to prison. I'm sorry. You backwashed a little there. I don't know. But he's in prison. And he's fallen out of favor. Same with the chief baker. We don't know why. Maybe his bread didn't rise, you know, just the right amount. Maybe the pastries weren't as good as you get as sin. Amen. I don't know. But he's just in prison for some reason. And both of these guys have somehow displeased Pharaoh. And you got to think, Joseph could be feeling pretty sorry for himself at this point. Like, do you ever find yourself feeling sorry for yourself? You kind of like, man, life is hard. And it's easy when life is crazy. But have you ever been thrown in a pit? No, you haven't. So let's move on. We've all faced hard things. I don't want to discount that. But it's easy to look inward, right? When we're feeling like out of control. But here's what Joseph does. He says he noticed the chief cupbearer and the chief baker looked upset. It's just maybe a Passover line. But Joseph hadn't failed to notice the world around him. Joseph hadn't failed to realize that there's other people having a hard time too. And that's easy to forget sometimes when we're in a dark place, isn't it? So he says, why do you look so worried today? And they're probably feeling a little bit out of control as well. They're probably feeling like, I didn't choose this. What's the point of all this? How long am I going to be in prison? Are we ever going to get out? Are we going to be executed? And there's just lots of anxiety here. But Joseph carries himself in a really important way for us to remember. He's in a foreign land, in a prison, surrounded by people who are also suffering anxiety and concern. And he lets them in on his own trust in God's wisdom. He lets them in on his own journey of navigating that uncertainty and that chaos. He says, interpreting dreams is God's business. Tell me your dream. So life is chaotic. We all feel it. We all long for order and peace. Things come at us pretty fast these days, right? Moms, happy Mother's Day. You're doing a good job. I remember when our kids were 3 kids under the age of 5, and my wife wanted a 4th, and I looked at her like she was crazy. I said, look around right now. You want a baby right now? Jim Gaffigan is a great comedian. He has 5 kids, and he's got a bit, and he's like, if you want to know what it's like having 5 kids, he's like, imagine you're drowning, and someone hands you a baby. I just remember those years feeling just like chaos. Like, I would literally, like, I grew up with one brother in a pretty calm household. I'm just like, I don't even know. I don't know what's going on. And I'd just be so overwhelmed. I'm like, Jill, I gotta go. I go into the dark bedroom, put my headphones in so I couldn't hear anything, turn off the lights and just listen to music and just sit still. Like, if I had like one of those non-sensory deprecation tubs, I would have gone into that thing. But as I said, I just need to be, it's chaos. Life comes at us fast. Even in the news and all of the events around the world, I drove past our kids' school the other day and the flag was at half mast. And I'm like, oh yeah, something really bad just happened, but I don't remember what it, oh yeah. And then I remember the latest tragedy that had happened, why the flag was, and you know, things are just crazy. And it can be easy to feel out of control. Consider that sense if you lived in a couple thousand years BC. You know, you living in an agrarian world where like everything depended on whether it rained at the right time or the sun shone at the right time so the crops would grow, so there wasn't a drought. You know, just really hope that it's going to happen, you know. The ancient gods that these nations would worship were very, thought to be very just ambivalent, very like arbitrary, not the kind and caring God that we read about in the Old Testament scriptures and in the New Testament. But there was a sense of out of controlness even with their gods, and how do we make it through life? And so dream interpretation was a really significant way to get a sense of control. What's going on in the world? Would we need to read the signs and the stars to feel like we know, we have a sense of what's happening and how to prepare? You know, like we want that today, right? Like we check the weather app. Is it going to be raining? Should we make plans to go outside? We check in on our bank accounts and investments. I imagine in the last couple of months, you've been checking your investments a little bit more. Hashtag elbows up, hashtag not for sale. But we check the news. We check Google and ChatGPT for information. Should I stay at this hotel? We check reviews. We want to know ahead of time if we're making the right decision. And we do this because we want to feel like we have a little bit of control in life. We want to feel like there's some things that we can be aware of. And so in ancient times, there would this term divination. There was a whole science to interpreting dreams, to reading signs and omens. There was actually a whole practice on reading the entrails of animals. And the magicians and the diviners would be tasked by the king or the pharaoh to find out what's going on and what the gods are doing and saying based on all of these things. And so Joseph finds himself in a foreign nation where dream interpretation and divination was just a common practice. Daniel and Joseph are two Old Testament characters who kind of found themselves in these foreign contexts where dream interpretation was common. And so the author here is depicting Joseph kind of differently than other Old Testament characters who are more like prophets. But here he's in this foreign context and he's being portrayed as like a wise man, someone who can discern and understand events, kind of like the wise men of Egypt or the wise men of Babylon in their sort of pagan understanding. And yet it was God giving them a special kind of wisdom that was different than their approach to all these things. A little bit of a spoiler alert. I know Dave likes to say spoiler alert. Next week, we're going to be talking about how Joseph interprets some of Pharaoh's dreams. And when he does, Pharaoh exclaims, "This is a man in whom the spirit of the gods resides." Why does he say that? It's because he interprets with great discernment and great clarity these dreams he has. He accurately interprets them. Joseph is just like tossing out dream interpretations throughout this book. Like, it's like an Oprah Winfrey show. He's like, you get a dream interpretation. I'm going to interpret my dreams. I'm going to interpret your dreams. I'm going to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And he's portrayed as this sort of like this wise interpreter. So what happens with the cupbearer and the king? Well, we read on that he actually very accurately portrayed their dreams and very accurately interpreted their dreams. The text says that 3 days later, exactly what he predicted was going to happen. The cupbearer was elevated back to his position and the chief baker was executed. And then the chief cupbearer promptly forgot all about Joseph. You have to feel sorry for the baker, right? They're both nervous about their dreams. And the cupbearer goes, well, this is my dream. And Joseph says, good news, you're going to be restored. You're going to go back to your job. And you see the baker's eyes kind of light up. Oh, I had a dream too. And then he says, sorry. And we read about what happened to the chief baker, and it's bad news. You got to feel bad for him. But here is Joseph in this foreign land interpreting these fellow's dreams, and he's not thinking about himself. He's in this chaos. He's out of control, and he's carrying this wisdom about him. So what's the point of this sermon, Chad? Am I supposed to be a dream interpreter? Like, are we all supposed to set out and get some astrology books or and start learning how we can interpret each other's dreams? That's not where this is going. Where this is going is I want us to imagine Joseph as a human being, like you and I, who's susceptible to all of life's uncertainty, like Joseph was, who finds himself in all kinds of different places, whether good or bad. He's thrown around by life's circumstances just the same as us. Yet, he's not just thinking about himself and his own survival. He's aware that God can use him in the circumstances he is in. And he can use wisdom to be a blessing, to carry that blessing forward. And I want to talk a little bit about wisdom. There's different kinds of wisdom in the world, you know? There's mom's wisdom. You know, mom's wisdom is like, you got to make sure you're wearing the right clothes and make sure everyone's had lunch. And that's, you know, mom's wisdom is like looking out for everybody and thinking of all the things dad, like, oh yeah, the kids needed to eat. Sorry. Like, I mean, yesterday we're at the park and Jill's like, Tessa hasn't eaten yet. I'm like, oh, why didn't she eat? She should have eaten if, she, you know. And dad's wisdom is like, they'll be fine. Just go hurt yourself. Go play. You'll learn and you'll be better off for it. Go come back if you're bleeding really badly. You know, there's different kinds of wisdom. And the scriptures talks about different kinds of wisdom as well. The book of James talks about godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. God's kind of wisdom and this world's kind of wisdom. And I want us to dig into that a little bit today. Joseph was a wise person, not just in interpreting dreams, but in trusting that there is like a deeper wisdom to life. There is a deeper wisdom to navigating the circumstances of life than just taking it as it comes. It's a trust, a deep trust in God. You know, this was always the plan that we are also to be people of godly wisdom wherever we go. This was always the plan. In the book of Genesis, we read how the earth was formless and chaotic. Before anything had been created, there was this formless void. And God spoke into the darkness and he ordered it. He began putting things in order. He began taking chaotic things and creating light and dark and land and water and animals and plants and human beings. And he said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. So that they may rule over the fish and the birds. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. We were always created to exercise a wise rule within the world. Where there's chaos and disorder and God's working, he's saying, I'm creating something good in this. I want you to rule over. I want you to exercise wisdom and stewardship over these things. That hasn't changed. Like, that's still the call of our humanity. That's still the call of what it means to be a human being. There's always the plan that you and I would step into what God has created and help promote the order and the goodness and the beauty of the world. And of course, we know that sin has forever changed that. Why? Because the serpent said, you can't trust God's wisdom. Did God really say that you can't do this? And so the serpent challenges God's wisdom, casts doubt on God's way of doing things in the world, and encourages them to take on their own wisdom, this earthly, unspiritual wisdom. And they said, yeah, we can do things our own way. And what happened in that moment is the order of creation was disrupted, where God, as we sang this morning, reigns above it all. His wisdom is higher. He's better and more loving and kind and wise than anyone can ever be. And he made human beings in his image. Psalm chapter 8 says, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Made them rulers over the works of your hands. So we have God, creator, in his love, he makes a human species to reign over the creation. Yet that order got disrupted where God's wisdom was challenged and the human being said, no, we're gonna take a step up over your wisdom, God. We're gonna exercise our own wisdom above you because your wisdom isn't good enough. So that disruption introduce all kinds of other chaos into the world, right? When you and I forget God's wisdom in the world, when you and I forget to be good and kind, to forget to think of others when we're in our own hard time, when we get a little bit selfish, when we get a little bit inward focused, when we think, I gotta be in charge of my own life in order to get ahead because no one else is thinking of me. That earthly wisdom, it ruins our relationships. It disrupts the order and the peace that God created our world for. So James teaches us what this comparison looks like. So in James chapter 3, it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Says this. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Earthly wisdom is easy to spot, isn't it? Selfish ambition, jealousy. Me first, I'm gonna get mine. Dog eat dog. It's all around us, right? If you wanna look after yourself, you're gonna have to do it. And if you have to take everyone else's candy bars to do it, that's the way it goes, right? Godly wisdom, we know it when we feel it. This otherish, wise, slow to make a judgment. It's kind, gentle and patient. It's not gonna snap to a judgment. It's gonna think of how things benefit everyone else. This godly wisdom, it's humble. And it kind of reminds me of how Joseph was in this prison scenario, isn't he? He's not just thinking about himself. He's like, hey, what's wrong? Why are you guys so downcast today? It exercises this trust in God, this trust in a higher wisdom, a loving and good power that's for us. It kind of sounds a lot like Jesus too, doesn't it? You know? Pastor Dave showed us how Jesus also was thrown into a pit of darkness, unfairly accused and judged. Yeah, he didn't just think of himself. He thought, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's doing this godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. Two very different visions of wisdom, isn't it? Two very different versions of how to move forward through uncertainty, how to move forward through chaos. One is counterintuitive, isn't it? When things are chaotic and uncertain, it's very counterintuitive to think, okay, I'm gonna step back and trust God, right? I'm gonna take my hands off things for a second. We wanna just control it, right? We're gonna make sure this gets steered the right way so it works out good for me. And if I'm bumping into some people and the bus drives over some people, sorry, but I gotta look out for me, right? This other godly wisdom is like, it's generous and it's humble. I don't know. I'm gonna trust God. We're gonna make some good decisions. We're gonna wait. We're not gonna judge too fast. We're gonna think of how things are gonna affect other people. It's not just about me. We're in this together. And it keeps us in that center spot where God created us to be, isn't it? A little lower than the angels, ruling with wisdom over the created order, in tandem with God. Keeps us there, where we were created to be. We were worshiping this morning. I just was thinking about this. I was just like, this is so beautiful. We were created to exercise wisdom and dominion over the world, to bring godly wisdom into the world, but not be God, to glorify God as the wise creator over all things, to live in that middle space. You ever asked, who am I? Who am I, God? I can't do anything in this situation. We encounter chaos and uncertainty. We're in our workspace, our family. We see problems and we go, I don't have anything to offer here. I don't know. It's not who God created us to be. God created us to rule and reign with him, to have agency. If the only thing we can do is get on our knees and pray to God for things to change here, that's something. If the only thing we can do is be gentle with our neighbor who's ruining our neighborhood with their ugly lawn, right? Whether the problem is large or small, God has created us to walk into it with wisdom, with a godly wisdom. That's a blessing to the environments we are in. You know, it's okay if we feel like we're living in a foreign land sometimes. It's okay. It doesn't mean we sit on our hands. But it also doesn't mean that we rise up with force, with our own agenda, to make sure that people think the way we do, to make sure that people act the way we do, because we're going to save the world. There's a two sides of a ditch, two ditches on two of the road that we need to avoid, right? Oh, who am I? I can't do anything. You're made in God's image to reflect God's goodness and justice in the world, to reflect his praise in the world. You're someone. You're something. You can be confident in that. You can be bold. The Holy Spirit is here to make you bold in these things. But on the other side of the ditch, we don't want to fall into going, I'm gonna make sure everyone is doing the right thing. And if I have to drive over them, that's too bad for them, right? It's about me. I'm gonna make sure that I'm doing well at the expense of everyone else. I know that's an extreme example, but we're tempted to those things that often, aren't we? You know, am I going to try to get ahead through dishonesty in my finances? Am I going to try and get ahead, even though there's some injustice that I'm going to be complicit with? Am I going to try and get ahead? Am I going to try and look out for myself? This creates more disorder in our world, doesn't it? Right? But this godly wisdom, it creates the peace that God created for us to operate in. In Greek mythology, this is an illustration to keep us on that level playing field. Greek mythology, Icarus and his father, Daedalus, were imprisoned on an island. And to escape, Daedalus fashioned wings from feathers and wax. And before taking flight, he warned his son Icarus, "Fly the middle course. If you fly too low, the sea will soak your wings and you'll crash into the ocean. But don't fly too high or the sun will melt the wax." But once in the air, Icarus was thrilled by the power of flight. He soared higher and higher, intoxicated by his freedom and ignored his father's wisdom. As he neared the sun, the wax holding his wings together began to melt, and he plummeted into the sea and drowned. There's a wisdom lesson from Greek mythology. Don't fly too low. Don't discount yourself. God made you in his image. But don't fly too high. You can't get above God's wisdom. We want to live in the middle, trusting God's wisdom and exercising wisdom with him. The world's wisdom is jealous, full of selfish ambition, boastful, and untrue. There you will find disorder. But God's wisdom is honorable, does good, is humble, is pure, peace-loving, and gentle. How do we get wisdom? It's great, Chad. Wisdom, yeah. It's really easy. You're like, yeah, sure. James chapter 1, there's a promise that God will answer this prayer favorably every time. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who distributes wisdom without favoritism. When we feel out of control, when we feel like we don't know what to do, when we feel things are crazy, we just got to stop for a minute. Say, God, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom. Not my wisdom. I need your wisdom. The way out is not through earthly, unspiritual wisdom, but it's through God's way, through God's kind of wisdom. Might mean a little bit of dying to ourselves. Might mean that I have to take my hands off the wheel a bit. But as we're learning in this story, God's providential wisdom will carry us through. Amen? You know, we can go to prison. We can get thrown in a pit. We can feel like our society or our world or the big picture isn't going anywhere good. And we can feel out of control. We take a breath. God is good. God is wise, and he's with us. And so if you feel that turmoil in your heart this morning, I just want to encourage you. God's with you. You don't have to hold onto the wheel too tightly. Trust God for his wisdom. We don't need to take control. We don't need to put ourselves first. We need to trust that in Christ is demonstrated the way through. We might have to die to ourselves a little bit. but in the end there's resurrection. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We're gonna sing one more time. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's a good prayer. I pray for you. I pray for us. I pray for myself. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation for the world. Jesus not only saves us from the world, he saves us for the world. Amen? And God's calling you into a place where he wants you to take the blessing with you. Godly kind of wisdom, a godly kind of perspective, trusting in God's wisdom.
Thank you for listening to the APA podcast. We hope it helps you better follow Jesus in your home, city, and around the world.